hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having an absolutely blessed day today. How are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. Thank you so much for asking me. And I tell you what, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Now, I've got some interesting things to tell you about Tulsi Gabbard this morning. And I had a friend of mine from Europe, he sent me an email, and he said, maybe you could approach it this way or approach it that way. And he made some has some really good sense of why he said what he said. Now you're going to say, well, what about Tulsi Gabbard? You know, we like Tulsi Gabbard. She's the only Democrat that's got a brain. Well, now, that's probably true. She probably is the only Democrat that's got a brain. But remember, she did a really hardcore endorsement of Bernie Sanders back in the 2016 election. So she's openly endorsing a communist for the president of the United States. But I want to start off with something that happened in 1982. Now, Austin, you won't remember this. In 1982, there was a Thunderbirds airplane show from the Air Force, Indian Springs Diamond Crash. In 1982, Diamond Crash was the worst operational accident to befall the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds air demonstration team involving show aircraft. Four T-38, which are really nice planes, by the way, Talon jets crashed during operational training on January the 18th, 82, killing all four pilots. Now, what was interesting about this, the four pilots died instantly. So that was how that happened. But be saying, why would four pilots do this? The pilots were practicing the four-plane line abreast loop, in which the aircraft climb in a side-by-side formation several thousand feet, pull over in a slow inside loop, and descend at more than 400 miles an hour. Now, this is only a several thousand feet. That means time's moving really fast. The airplanes were meant to level off at about 100 feet. Instead, the formation struck the ground at high speed. Now, what was interesting about this is that initial speculation was that the accident might have been due to a pilot error, that the leader might have misjudged his altitude or speed, and the other three pilots repeated the error. However, the Air Force concluded that the crash was due to a jammed stabilizer on the lead jet. The other pilots, in accordance with their training, did not break formation. So what happened is they were doing this loop. The one guy who was leading the other four, his jet jammed, his stabilizer jammed, and they all didn't pay any attention to where the ground was, and they all slammed into the ground simultaneously, killing all of them. You think, why would you bring us up such a negative story, Ted? Here's why. Sometimes you can't blindly follow your leadership. Yeah, there you go. There was the segue. You can't go and say, so-and-so believes in so-and-so, and so I'm going to believe what so-and-so believes. Sometimes, you know, you've got to question the authority. In other words, you've got to say, wait just a minute. Maybe I'm not getting this right. Maybe I got to think through this. And in all times, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say it in a couple different ways here. The reality is, I remember I used to do responsive reading when I was in the Lutheran church when I was a young child. In other words, the pastor would say something and you'd repeat something out of the worship book, the hymnal. And you'd actually, after a few Sundays, you had the whole thing memorized and nobody even picked up the hymnal anymore. I would just do rote memory. But here's the danger with that, and I found that out later. A lot of people follow blindly what the pastor says, regardless of what the pastor says or does. In other words, if the pastor's saying things for you to repeat, you kind of need to listen to what he says before you repeat them. In other words, if he doesn't really pay attention to his confessions and he says something really negative, you kind of need to step away. I remember years ago, I was going to this Bible retreat in Tallahassee, and a friend of mine, his name was Dave, he invited me to it. It was like a three-day weekend retreat, and it was a strange retreat. They took our telephones away from us. They told us we couldn't talk on the phones, and then they told us, you know, that we had to be quiet, couldn't say anything for all night while we were headed to bed or whatever. And then they had us, before they started all the be quiet stuff, they said, repeat after us. And they started speaking this really negative stuff, and we were supposed to repeat it like an oratory. And it was all about assuming the guilt and responsibility and all this other kind of crazy stuff, and how a lot of us were going to die of certain diseases. It was some sick stuff, guys. And I thought to myself, what the heck? I'm not going to repeat any of this. And so finally, I went to my buddy Dave, and I was supposed to be, now we're supposed to be the quiet part. I said, bud, this isn't working for me. I need to have somebody take me back to Tallahassee, because they wouldn't even let us bring our vehicles. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm not going to do this. I said, this is not going to, if this starts off with this negative, these negative confessions, I don't have any part of any of this stuff. And, you know, begrudgingly, they brought me back to Tallahassee because I stood my ground and I said, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to be involved in this. Now, you say, well, what does this have to do with Tulsi Gabbard? Well, Tulsi, she's interesting. Now, I'm not saying that she doesn't say a lot of stuff right. I'm not saying that she doesn't say some of the stuff wrong. I'm just saying she's not who you think she is. Now, you say, well, why can't we do that? Well, you know, we can look at it from a bread and circuses. You know, we can do that. We can have fake opponents. You can also look at that, that you guys are better than the average listeners out there in talk radio. You guys are really educated. You guys know all kinds of stuff. You know about the Scofield Bible. You know about the Russian Revolution. You know about the bad things that Hitler did and some of the good things that Germany did in the 30s and bad things they did. You know about Samuel Untermeyer. And, you know, we've got to realize that there are a lot of people out there that are saying things that are true to try to get your attention and get your vote. Like Tulsi Gabbard talking about how bad Hillary Clinton was. But reality is, who are we really going to be voting for? We've got to look at these individuals and find out if there's any good in them or any bad in them. And then, like with Donald Trump, I'm not a Trump supporter any longer. You guys know that. But I continually pray for the president. I continually pray that he's going to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's going to convict him and change his attitude. And he'll bring the whole country back into the right course. But right now, that's not working out for him. He's not really that person. And now the evangelicals even turned against him because of what's happened in Syria, because evangelicals, being hardcore Zionists, many of them, you know, want to do the Zionist agenda. And so they're saying things that are bad about him now. But let's stay with Tulsi Gabbard for just a second. You know, she basically is a hardcore Zionist. You know, and here's an article from her. It says, Tulsi Gabbard presses on with anti-Clinton rant, dubbing her foreign policy a devastating disaster. Now, she's saying what we want to hear. But you also have to remember that she spoke, and she was one of the primary speakers, at the Right-Wing Christians United for Israel conference. Now, this doesn't make any sense to me because she claims to be a Hindu. But she's basically speaking at the Right-Wing Christians United for Israel conference, which is these types of groups that are sponsored by John Hagee, which are promoting the rebuilding of the Third Temple and the bringing in of the Antichrist. In addition to that, there's a Facebook post here, and it's by Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, and it's basically the Champion of Jewish Values 2016 Gala, and he put it as an unforgettable evening, and he has a lot of people there, and he's, you know, going through the people, and he's talking about who's there, and he's bragging all the people. You guys can read all this if you like. And then they start talking about Tulsi Gabbard. And, you know, and how great she is. And they go into this big detail about how she's a hardcore Zionist, the supporter of Israel, and they're basically promoting her. Now, then at the end, she actually wins their Jewish Champion of Freedom Award. Now, you think, okay. So now you say, well, Ted, why are you doing this? Why are you saying all this? What in the world does it have to do with Tulsi Gabbard? So what? She won the Freedom Award. Here's the thing. You've got to understand that she's another Rothschild puppet, cutout sock puppet. She's the opposite end again of Trump. She's the yin and the yang. They realize that Hillary Clinton basically is done. She's so sick now she can barely stand. She's galvanized the public to the point where pretty much even the Democrats hate her. I mean, she's got a point now where she's no longer going to be effective. You see this with some talk show hosts that are alt news. Suddenly they have this huge platform. Suddenly they stop being effective propaganda tools, and suddenly they go away. Just as soon as they and you see the ones that are the effective propaganda tools, they come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they get all of this media coverage. So you guys are brilliant. I mean, I've got the best listeners in the world, Austin and I do. I mean, you guys are amazing to me. You guys are wonderful. And so what's interesting about this is, let's make sure we all think through this together. Sure, Tulsi Gabbard is a good speaker. Sure, she's a pretty lady. Sure, she basically talks about these endless wars and how they should stop. But guys, she's also a hardcore Zionist. She's also a hardcore Democrat. She's a hardcore socialist communist. And we have to remember who our enemies are. You know, that old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That's nonsense. you keep your enemies closer, they're going to put a knife in your back. You just keep your enemies away from you. Keep your friends close. And see, and this is the thing we have to understand with all of these sock puppet weirdos they put out in front of us. Everything with Tulsi Gabbard now is being manipulated by the Zionist Rothschild-controlled international press cartels to promote her as a Democratic contender. Now, do I think she'll get the nomination? Absolutely not. But she's only in her 30s. So therefore, she's going to be groomed and picked up and picked up and picked up, and her name's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And have you noticed that on the ones they like, they start giving them more and more and more questions during the debates, and the ones they don't like, they may only ask them one or two questions for the entire 2 or 3 hours. You saw that with Ron Paul when he's running for president. I mean, every once in a while, they'd toss Ron Paul a bone and give him a question or so, and he'd say something he wasn't supposed to say, and then they would quickly change the topic and go to somebody else. And see, this is what we have to understand. Remember to be led by the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself a simple question. You know, why are they promoting Tulsi Gabbard? Why are they pushing her on us like they are? Why are they allowing her to attack the Witch of Benghazi and allowing her to get huge media coverage on her attacks of the Witch of Benghazi? Guys, the Witch of Benghazi is probably going to announce her candidacy pretty quick. Donald Trump is probably going to get impeached to the House. I don't think it'll ever go through the Senate, though now he's unbelievably angry at the Republicans who have turned against him, and he pretty much is calling them scum. And in fact, I'll pretty much read it to you because I don't want to try to misquote him. He goes, President Donald Trump lashed out at Never Trumper Republicans on Wednesday amidst the metastasizing impeachment inquiry, which means it's spreading, calling them human scum and more dangerous to Americans than Democrats. The Never Trumper Republicans, though, on respirators, which there are not many left, are in certain ways worse and more dangerous for the country than the do-nothing Democrats, Trump said. Watch out for them. They are human scum. Now, here's the thing. I mean, Donald Trump has done some good things. He got us out of some treaties we needed to be out of. But he's done some really bad things that Hillary Clinton could have never pushed through, including red flag gun laws. And, you know, in the bump stock weapons ban. Yeah, all that stuff should have never been pushed through. And the red flag gun laws are getting really, really bad. And now they're talking about having children who threaten other kids with guns in school, like pretend threats. Like a 7-year-old or 8-year-old goes in school and says, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, my God, it's a threat. And now we have sheriffs around the country and legislators around the country saying that those children will be red flag gun lawed, 7 and 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds. And, yes, there have been over 100 already red flag gun lawed, little kids. And they have the right to go into that child's home and take their parents' guns. This is all because of Donald Trump, 100% of it. And Bubble Boy Rubio here in Florida. And Donald Trump pushing it through our legislation in Florida. So, guys, be very, very careful on what you think of these guys, what they do. Because remember, all Trump has to do is 80% of doing what you want him to do and what you want him to say. And the other 20%, he can push all these other agendas through. And so is the nature of politics. And it's very frustrating to me, Austin, when he said one thing in his campaign about never touching the Second Amendment and having done what he's done now. And also, this mess now with this impeachment in the House and in the Senate and this unbelievable communist fascist show trial that's going on with this impeachment proceeding in the House in which Trump can't even hear anything. He's not allowed to see his accusers. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on and how this is such a mockery of justice. Austin, what do you think?
Well said. It is an absolute mockery of justice. And excuse me, and this is what everybody has to start realizing and understanding is that, you know, whether or not they go further with this thing or it goes anywhere, it's distracting the population from what's really going on. And it's also, and this has always been a big thing that they haven't liked about Trump, and that they have always used this as an excuse to make sure they demonize nationalism. They've done this since the very beginning of his campaign. Make America great
exactly
again.
Right.
They hammered him that. They hammered on him. He's a nationalist. He's a nationalist. He's a nationalist. Yeah. He's proud of the United States. He wants America to be great again. He's proud of the country he grew up in. There's nothing wrong with that. But the mainstream media has intentionally demonized that for years now. And so they've had to make sure that they do everything they can to make nationalism and pride and heritage in your country seem like it's the worst offense possible, because they do not want people having that level of support and being able to rally with one another and say, hey, listen, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what we have going on right now. We're Americans. We have to stand strong. We have to stand up for our constitutional rights. That's what nationalism provides. Because, and one thing, it doesn't matter on all the other disagreements you can have, you are still an American and you're proud of it and you want to protect this country. And that is something the globalists have to remove from the United States. And that is one reason why they've done everything they can to make Donald Trump look as horrible as possible. And going back to what Dad said as well with these red flag gun laws down here in Florida, we've had over 2,500 red flag gun laws issued since March 2018. 2,500 people have had their firearms disarmed and basically stolen from them illegally. Now, I'm not saying that every single one of those person, you know, was not maybe doing something bad or was mentally ill. I'm not saying that because I don't know every single case. I know a lot of them are pretty strange. I know one of them was a 91-year-old man who claimed he wanted to even the score with his late wife's alleged lover. He got red flagged, had his firearm stolen from him. I know there's another one where an 8-year-old boy in Polk County got mad at school and threatened to get a gun and shoot another kid. And they basically petitioned to have a red flag gun law issued against an 8-year-old child. An 8-year-old child. Luckily, the judge down here in Polk County was not that much of an idiot, and he decided that this has just gone too far with 8-year-olds. But the caseload has become so heavy in Polk County now that court hearings are held 4 out of 5 days per week. Polk County has successfully issued more than 400 red flag gun orders against people since March 2018, 20% of them involving children under the age of 18. This is what we have going on right now. And one thing about it that was very troubling me, and that's what Dad said as well, there's a sheriff that basically said, if the parents don't lock up their guns of these children that are essentially misbehaving and saying things they shouldn't say at 8 years old, we're going to take those guns and we're going to lock them up for them. So what they're now saying is that if your, you know, kid who's acting like a brat, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old kid, acting like a normal brat, 12-year-old, does something stupid, makes a comment that a teacher doesn't like, does anything that they deem to be an offense, they can go get a red flag order against that child. And if they deem that you are not basically safely keeping all of your weapons stored, or you're doing something that they don't agree with either, they now have the excuse to steal your firearms from you, and you never even did anything ever. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You never even have to see anybody. Your kid simply has a red flag order issued, and they steal your firearms from you. Now, the one aspect that nobody's talking about with this, and this is a big deal, in Florida, most counties file risk protection orders in open court, so even juvenile cases are accessible to the public. What nobody's discussing about is when you're taking an 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 16-year-old kid, and you're filing a red flag order on them now, that red flag order is going to follow them the rest of their life. From now on, anytime somebody does a background check on them, anytime they basically go to apply to a university, anytime they go to apply for a government position or a military position or anything like that where they have to disclose their prior history, if they don't disclose it, they're basically lying on an application. And if they have a background check basically issued, they're going to see that these kids had a red flag protection order issued on them that prevented them from possessing a firearm when they couldn't even legally own a firearm in the first place. This is very sinister to me, because what it appears to me, and again, this just appears to me, is that they're now using this against kids as an excuse to get these kids wrapped up in the prison industrial system, the court complex, so to speak, so that these kids now have a record. I can guarantee you, if you did a research study and you followed a lot of these kids now for the next 5, 10, 15 years, these young kids that have had these red flag orders, I can almost guarantee you that a large percentage of them are going to have a very difficult time getting into schools, getting into colleges, and also getting a firearm. Because remember, all the 4117 app, 4173 application, it asks you, have you ever had a restraining order filed against you or anything like that? And when they do that and you file that form to get a background check done to purchase a weapon, they're going to see that now. Now, we don't know, we really don't know the ramifications of what's going to happen long-term from having this red flag order on your record, because we know it seizes weapons for an entire year. After that, you allegedly can get your firearms back, but what about your record? Does it just miraculously disappear and it's never occurred and it never happened? Quite contrary, I've never seen something like that happen in court. Once you have something in court and it's public record, it is there. But I just want to kind of bring that up because Dad brought it up, and I want to kind of address it a little bit further to really tell you guys and show you how this thing is starting to escalate really, really, really rapidly. And also, to another news, I want to touch base on this real quick, too. The Protection of Motorsports Act of 2019, the RPM Act, has now been reintroduced to the Senate via Richard Burr, along with 24 original co-sponsors. This is huge. This bill is basically designed to confirm that transforming motor vehicles into race cars used exclusively for competition does not violate the Clean Air Act. This American tradition was unquestioned for over 50 years until 2015 under Obama's EPA, they took the position that converting any street vehicle that's designed to compete on the track, it must remain emissions compliant, even though it's never driven on a public street or highway. They also maintain that the equipment used to transform a street vehicle into a race car is illegal. The EPA has been on a witch hunt now for the last 2 years. They're going around now to shops, and they're doing basically operations now to diesel shops, car shops, and they're trying to do covert busts on shops that do any type of DPF removal, exhaust modification for vehicles that are used off-road or race vehicles. And even if those vehicles are race vehicles, they're fining the businesses upwards of $150,000 to $200,000 for simply working on a vehicle and touching the exhaust system on it, because they say it's a federal offense now to modify the exhaust on a vehicle that you own, that's in your name, that you use for off-road racing. This is how out of control the EPA has gotten, and they're trying to justify their existence now and raise more revenue by these exorbitant fines on companies that are doing nothing illicit, nothing illegal in my opinion, but the EPA says it doesn't matter, you can't touch this exhaust because we say you can't touch this exhaust. And so I really hope this bill goes further in the Senate and it gets passed, because we really need to put a leash on the EPA, because they have gotten completely out of control, especially down here in Florida, Dad.
Well, the problem is they turn everybody into criminals. I mean, not everybody, yeah. Everybody messes with their exhausts. Let's say you have a car that's made for racing, and you take it off road, and you basically change the exhaust on it, and then you get ready to trade it back in, and you put the exhaust back on it. You've got to sign that you never touched that exhaust system. You never made modifications on it. I mean, you have to sit there and say a lie, basically, or they won't even take the car in on trade. I mean, I guess if you restored it back to stock and put everything back on it again, I guess that's okay, but you still modified the exhaust during the time that you owned it. So there's some really gray area here that these guys have gone berserk in. Like you said, Austin, they put all these shops out of these are mom and pop shops. They take EPA, they take off a pipe or whatever. And I'm going to say this again, and this is something that we need to just get through everybody's head here as far as these people in the EPA. You know, back in the early 2000s, before they had these Dragonian, exhaust systems and these catalytic converters and these DPF systems and all the other things they put on diesel engines now, you know, you could modify a truck like the old Ford, the old 7.3 engine. It was probably one of the best engines ever built for a diesel truck. And you could modify that, get upwards of 30 miles per gallon at 70 miles per hour on a, a 3/4 ton truck, and have unbelievable fuel miles and incredible power. And as long as you didn't put it on the wicked race tune, it really didn't put out much more smoke than it did stocks. It didn't have DPF filters, and it got much, much better fuel miles. You literally got, almost a 50% increase in fuel economy. Now, what's crazy about this is even the stock trucks back then used to get 20, 21, 22 miles per gallon. These new trucks get they probably get around 18, 19 miles per gallon. If you modify them, they get upwards of 30 again. So you have to ask yourself a question. If you're burning half the amount of fuel, is it really polluting the environment any more than it would if you were burning all of the fuel, considering the amount of pollution that is created simply through the processing of fuel and the basically the drilling for fuel? So none of this makes any sense to me, Austin. And I understand that there are people out there that, you know, who basically abuse this. I got that. But the reality is, it's your truck, it's your vehicle. You should be able to do whatever you want to do with it. And if you want to take an exhaust system off, you shouldn't have to worry about some giant EPA fine or going to jail over all of this stuff. Now, one more thing, I want to step back to what's going on with the red flag gun laws. And I'm going to say this. I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. The red flag gun laws, what they are basically, they are a stealth attack on the Second Amendment. That's what these are. I mean, they're going in now to all of these different areas. We've had 400 people in our county now have their guns seized. I mean, our county only has 600,000 people. We've had 400 people now that have had their guns seized. And, you know, if the ex-wife says something about you, or if the neighbor says something about you, or let's say you're walking around on your own property going freely unmolested on your way, and you're driving a tractor or walking around, and you live out on acreage in the middle of nowhere, and you've got a gun on your hip because basically you're afraid you're going to get bit by a water moccasin and you won't be able to protect yourself. And they go, oh, he's brandishing a weapon. He's nuts. Take his weapons. And all of a sudden they come over, they take your guns away. And you're like, what the heck just happened? You know, I was trying not to get bit by a snake. And you can't do that. Now you can't protect yourself. I mean, so we have a full stealth attack on the Second Amendment brought to you by Donald Trump. This is Trump's draconian stuff. This is his deal. He pushed this. He's going to own this. This was going to be tattooed on his forehead for the rest of his life. I'm not letting this one walk. Unless they start removing these doggone red flag gun laws. And now they're trying to push it to the little federal level. And his daughter is still making phone calls to all the legislators, all the congresspeople, all the senators to pass this nationwide. So they have a federal red flag gun law. So not only will the state or the county or whatever, your municipality, come after your guns, the feds can come after your guns. I mean, this is a full-blown assault on the Second Amendment. Because remember, they don't have to take the guns away from all the guys that are beta males. They don't have to do that. They're not going to organize and do anything anyhow. You know, chances are, all right. But they want to take the guns away from the people that are actually willing to stand up for their rights. This is a full blown communist assault on our Second Amendment, brought to you by the boys and girls from AIPAC. And there I said it. And this is the group of people that are pushing this and 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 pushing this constantly. And also so the guys from the Defamation League, these hardcore leftist communist groups that have infiltrated our government, who have basically brought us these types of draconian laws that are here specifically to usurp, to bypass, to get rid of the Second Amendment without getting rid of the Second Amendment. And we have to understand that. People say, well, you guys talk too much about Second Amendment rights. Guys, let me explain something to you. If we lose our Second Amendment rights, we've lost our Second Amendment rights. We ain't ever getting them back. It's too hard to undo laws and legislation. I mean, look how hard it is to get rid of Obamacare. I mean, Trump has a Republican-controlled Congress and Senate. He still can't get rid of Obamacare. He gets rid of the ridiculous fines that you have to pay as far as that. He gets rid of that. It's like happens 2 years later. But he basically, you know, ended up, you know, not being able to get rid of Obamacare. He had a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and he couldn't get rid of Obamacare. That's because the special interests that are involved with these legislations, they continue to grease the wheel, bribe the congressman, I should say, help them in their election campaign with a congressman to get them to vote certain ways, and they continually do this with the lobbying and with the downright bribes. Oh, one more thing about Tulsi Gabbard. I forgot to mention this to you. Also, CFR member, just Council on Foreign Relations. That's that whole Rothschild group that got developed after the League of Nations. It always goes back to these guys, to these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian, these international bankers, these guys at the highest levels who basically worship Moloch and Baal and Asherah, these guys who consider themselves to be the Benigni Nephilim. It's always these guys. It's always these guys. And they have all these other little groups and proxies that join them, all these other little Satan minions that basically want to have the power given to them by these people here on this planet. And that's why you have the Bushes and the Clintons and all the other people involved in all of this stuff. Guys, it's because they use these people as cutouts to basically give them whatever they want on this planet, to give them the riches and the prestige and the notoriety and all the different things they give them. Why? Because they're doing the bidding of their father, who is Lucifer. Now, I can't be any clearer than that. I don't know how to say that in any other way than that. That's what this is. This is the benign. These are sons of the fallen, and they have basically taken over the world, and they've taken over the planet, and they rule it through fiat money, through Babylonian money magic. It's what they do. It's what they've done for thousands of years. It's that group who has an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. It's that group that promotes these filthy, filthy movies from Hollywood, and that these things are just absolutely horrible. And I tell you what, guys, just be really careful what you watch. Be very careful what you put in your head and your mind, and don't practice Halloween. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be hanging skeletons and witches and goblins and goons and weirdo stuff in the front of your house. Don't be doing that. Please. I'll say please for this. Don't do that. Don't align yourself with those forces of evil. All right. Also, that's all I got to say on that. What else you want to say, bud?
Well, I think that's well said. I'm just going to make a comment on that because I've seen this a lot, and I'm not pointing anybody out, but I've seen this a lot, even with people that I know in churches and stuff like that, you know, how they discuss aspects of Christianity and belief and basically staying away from a lot of the stuff, and then you go over their house and they have, you know, the whole Harry Potter series on their shelf for the movie and the book, and then Halloween, you know, they have these giant demonic werewolves and skeletons and corpses, you know, laying in the front yard gutted and, you know, missing body parts and stuff like that. You know the whole Halloween thing. I'm not going to go into detail all the sick stuff. But my question is always this. Why in the world do you want to even invite that aspect of that dark side towards you? That's what the whole concept, and we need to discuss it again on one of the shows that with Halloween. We've gone in detail on it before, of what it is, what it's about, what it means, and what it's designed to represent. And, you know, I get it. Sometimes the kids want to dress up or something. Sometimes the churches have something like that. You know, they can dress up as an action figure and go to church and learn Bible lessons on a Wednesday night. And I don't really have a bit of problem with that. But, you know, decorating your house and inviting that satanic, energy into your house and having all that stuff out front of your house, you know, to me, it's just not a good look. And especially when you understand that this stuff is really real. This stuff isn't a joke. This is real. And you put that stuff out there, no good in my opinion. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Ben Carson now is absolutely coming out and slammed political correctness as a lot of individuals who basically are becoming more vocal about this, which I'm very glad to see. I've repeatedly said this, is that the political correct ideology that is trying to be pushed upon the American population, specifically the younger generation, is going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible outcome if we don't stand back, step back, and say no more. He came out and said, I think, and this is Ben Carson said, on top of exactly what I just said, he goes, I think this whole concept of political correctness, you can say this, you can't say that, you can't repeat what someone said, it's total foolishness, and it's going to destroy our nation. Carson shot back, adding, we need to be more mature than that. Unfortunately, this too was taken as hate speech, as Wexton, Representative Jennifer Wexton, came in and slammed him for saying that. I kid you not. It basically said that what he said is hate speech. And, you know, this is something that is getting further and further and further. And you hate coming across as rude or, you know, just kind of that guy when you get in a situation and you have to be that guy that comes out and says, no, I'm not okay with that. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to use these random, weird, made-up pronouns that you want to be called because you can't figure out what biological, you know, aspect of your life you're going to accept today. I'm not okay with that. We're not going to go around and start calling by people these random weird pronouns because that's what they want to be called that goes completely against biology. It's just, it's not because I want to come out and say, I want to be rude, I want to be mean, I want to be hateful, I want to be a really, 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 really obnoxious person today. That has nothing to do with it. It's because, as I've said so many times, the line does not stop. stop getting pushed with this leftist agenda. If they came in and said, hey, you know what, we just want you to respect this, we want you to just call us by this, and you say, okay, and this, once we've already done this, and you do it, well, then they come back and say, well, we want to teach your children now that this is okay. And you go, I don't really want to teach my five-year-old child that they can be a girl or a boy or a pixie today. No, we want you to accept that, and you say, okay. Then they come out and say, well, guess what? Now we're going to start having transgender parties for little children, and we're going to start allowing transgender children to dance on stage at male strip clubs in New York, which they've done. And you go, oh, gosh, that's really bizarre. I'm not okay with that. No, you know, you need to accept it. And I can continue to keep going. And that's what they have done now, is they continually keep pushing the line, pushing the line, pushing the line. And then as soon as they get any resistance, they go, you're a racist bigot. You're a hate speecher. You can't say that. That's hate speech. And that's the problem now, is that we've kind of let the line go further and further and further and further since the 90s, and now we've got ourselves in this quandary where you really can't say much of anything. You can't even repeat what people say. You can't even speak freely anymore without basically being called a racist or a hate speech. And this is the problem that we have to address. And if we don't start going back the opposite direction now and pushing back on this, we are going to lose this country, as Ben Carson blatantly said that.
You know, Austin, I can't even really, you know, it's like, you know, when you can't say stuff and you lose your, for now we're having what, over 50% of the people now are saying that they want to change the First Amendment so we no longer have freedom of speech, so we can stop hate speech. You know, here's the problem. The left, Austin, defines hate speech as the truth. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So if I say, yeah, Tulsi Gabbard did this or Tulsi Gabbard did that, that's hate speech. You're being anti-Semitic because you said she got this award. I never said there was anything wrong with that award. I'm just giving you who she is, who promotes her, and who controls her. I'm not saying anything else about that. I didn't say anything about that. I mean, remember, bigotry is the absolute not being diametrically opposed to another person's value systems. Like, for instance, in Texas right now, we got this woman and this husband are divorced. They got this little boy, and this wife, the little boy is like 7 years old, and she's trying to do hormonal transition to this little boy into a girl. He's fighting it in court. Now the governor's got involved in it, you know, because this woman basically is probably a hardcore leftist feminist, and she doesn't want that little boy to be a little boy, I guess, and she wants it to be a little girl. And I'm like, this is crazy. It's made national news. So can I bring this up on a topic? Or is that hate speech? Is it hate speech to not want a little boy to be transitioned to a little girl when he's 7 years old and he doesn't have any idea who he is? He's still in a theta brainwave state. Is that hate speech? Is it hate speech to make the world aware of what this woman is doing to her child? Is that hate speech? Now the Department of Family Services is getting involved, according to the governor, trying to figure out what the heck's going on with this weird group. I mean, is that hate speech? Well, I can say this. I'm diametrically opposed to this woman's value systems. So to me, to her, I admit that I'm a bigot. Okay? And then, now, if somebody wants to sodomize a little boy, I'm opposed to that too. That makes me bigoted towards them. Okay, I'm okay with that. But it's not being a racist. A racist means I believe that I'm biologically superior to another group of individuals or race, that I believe that their race should be exterminated or basically eradicated, or genocide should occur to that group of people. Kind of like Margaret Sanger thought about black people. She was a hardcore racist, founder of Planned Parenthood. And she wanted to have black people basically extinguished and have them not be able to reproduce. That's a racist. Remember, Hillary Clinton got the Margaret Sanger Award. But we forget about all that, lest I digress and start talking about that today. So we have to understand, guys, there's a difference between being a racist and being a bigot. So what the left has done, they're saying that if you don't accept their values, if you don't accept that a little 6 or 8 or 10 or 12-year-old boy can go in front of a bunch of men in a strip club serving alcohol in New York City and pretend like he's a transgender and strip in front of these gay guys, that you're a bigot, you're darn right I'm a bigot. And if you want to get me mad, you put me in a situation like that, and I will start raising H-E double sticks, because that's wrong. You know, so you say, well, you don't want to have transgenders doing the cross-dressing story hour. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to have that either. I don't want my little 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old little grandson now being exposed to that. So, yeah, that makes me a bigot. I'm okay with that being called a bigot for that, too. And this is the problem we have. And what they do is pretty soon hate speech will fold into red flag gun laws. And if you say something against what they think you should say that's not politically correct, is what Ben Carson's talking about now, they'll say, oh, by the way, he must be a danger to himself, to the community. Does he own weapons? What do you mean, does he own weapons? What do you mean? Does he have a concealed weapons permit? What do you mean? Why do you ask that? Well, if he said that he doesn't like little boys being little girls, he's a bigot. That means he's doing hate speech, which means, you know, we have the right now to basically think he's a danger, and we could take his guns away from him. Yeah, that's where this is all going, guys. This is a draconian backdoor entry into eliminating the Second Amendment, the thing that the hardcore Zionist, Trumpet, Donald Trump, Rothschild-controlled president told us he would never, ever do to us. And now he's doing it. This is unbelievable. This is actually unbelievable. Ann Coulter basically said that we too can be a failed Latin America state. Totally changing the subject now. Because the left's enthusiasm for third world immigrants isn't only because of the 8-2 vote for Democrats. It's that Latin American peasants seem uniquely amenable to idiotic socialist schemes. You probably think it's beyond silliness for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. I think Ann Coulter, I think you're a bigot. I think that you should have your guns taken away. That's where this goes, by the way. Of course, I'm being facetious. You probably think it's beyond silliness for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. By the way, Elizabeth Warren's broke again. She's run out of money. Her communist work ethic scheme hasn't seemed to work for her. And Elizabeth Warren seemed to keep promising free health care to all. No premiums, no copays, illegal aliens. Everybody gets a new pony for every birthday party. No one can be gullible enough to fall for that. I refer to you the economic powerhouse that is Latin America, based on the hundreds of years of indigenous people voting for politicians who've made similar promises. Latin America has become the dream factory that is today. That's why Tegucigalpa is practically a byword for technological innovation. Santiago was a picture of calm sophistication this weekend. They're in full riots, and Caracas is the ultimate modern conveniences. Perhaps you missed the article last Sunday's New York Times on what socialism has done for the water system of Venezuela. Here's a little quote from that. The brick shack on the outskirts of Venezuela capital is crowded with tubs, jugs, and buckets. The water they hold must last a family of eight for a week. In other words, they don't have water. They have to haul it in buckets. But it's not enough for frequent washing or flushing, so the kitchen is filled with greasy pots and the house smells of stale urine. And none of the water is treated, making diarrhea and vomiting a regular occurrence. We practically live in the bathroom, said the mother of the family. Her daughter sat nearby, pale and listless, recovering from her latest bout of diarrhea, just 1 month away from childbirth. Yep, that's what we need, is Latin American magic in the United States. Guys, if you ever go down there and you see how bad it is in those third world countries and how poor they are and how they're just – and how the countries are falling apart, it'll blow your mind. Years ago, we went horseback riding in Mexico. We actually stopped on a cruise ship. And Austin was with us, and we rented some horses from the ship. And I'll never forget, when we picked up the horses had to kick their way through garbage 18 inches deep on the road, had to kick their way through as they made it to the beach. It was unbelievable. And then finally I turned around and I looked at the guys that were with us. We had like three escorts with us, and I said, who are you guys? And they said, we're your security. And they pulled their guns back, and they pulled their coats back, and they were all carrying Uzis. And I'm like, what the heck? They hired guys with Uzis to protect us to go horseback riding. Why? Because of ransoms. Because of kidnappings. That's the third world hellhole these people are coming out of. And I got to give them credit. I give them kudos for wanting to get out of that. But why do they want to bring their politics and their socialist rhetoric and their communist ideological values in our country that was founded as a republic to destroy us with an 8-2 vote against the Republican for communism in the United States? And why do the Democrats want these people over here? Why? Because they want to be able to control all the elections, and they want to bring us into a full-blown communist dictatorship that's going to fail. And when it does, they will bring order out of chaos in their new world order with their new world banking system and their new world religion. You got to keep your eyes on what these long-term goals are. And this may be 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now. I don't know. It may be 50 years from now. It may be 10. Maybe 10, 5 years from now. Who knows? Who knows what the goals are? All I know is this. You and me and Austin and my listeners, you guys, all of you guys, that I love you guys so much, and I prayed for you again this morning, all of us have to resist this with every breath, with every ounce of energy that we have. Listen to yesterday's show. I went into detail about who and what we are in Christ. You guys have been just overwhelming me with emails from how much you like yesterday's show, and thank you. And guys, we have to understand that if we are Christians, we have to act as Christians. We've got to walk like Christians. We've got to talk like Christians. We have to do what Christians are supposed to do and not communicate with the world in such a way that they think we're not Christians, both verbally and non-verbally. I mean, think about it for a second. If you're going up with a bunch of heathen and all you're doing is cussing and telling dirty jokes, and all they're doing is cussing and telling dirty jokes, well, they think you're a Christian? Is there enough evidence to convict you that you're following Christ if you were put in front of a court of law? I mean, time will come, guys, when a lot of us are going to end up having that happen to us, when we're going to have to actually stand before a court of law and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. And they're going to say, wrong answer. You know, you get to go to door number two now. Guys, it's so important that you understand that Christianity is a disciplined way of life. It's a disciplined way of thinking and of doing and of being what God wants you to be in every aspect of your life, not just in those areas that you feel that you want to be that way in. So I like Ann Coulter. We too can be a failed Latin American state. And I put this article on my website, thehealthmasters.com news site. By the way, you guys need to just kind of go through that today. We've got some really, really good articles posted, and pretty much all the articles that we talk about on the show are posted on our website. All right, Austin. What you think, buddy? What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. Also, too, if this is something that's interesting, as California continues to go further and further down the rabbit trail of pretty much trying to make that state a third world country, as we've seen so much, they passed a bill last week, and I was reading over some of it, AB's California Legislative Assembly Bill, AB 5, which is a 6,700-word bill, one of the most controversial ever. And essentially what it attacks is individual businesses that 1099 people as basically contractors or subcontractors. So if I hire somebody, instead of putting them on payroll and having workman's comp and payroll taxes and, you know, having to match Social Security and, you know, do health insurance possibly with them, and the whole nine yards, if they're doing something on the side, basically 1099. Everybody's pretty much done that before. Everybody knows how that works. It's not difficult to understand. And so what they're doing now is they've put this bill together that restricts that and in some cases prevents that, to where that company has to actually hire this individual and put them on payroll and cannot 1099 them. It varies across a whole lot of different businesses, including ride hailing, which is Uber and Lyft, construction, healthcare, trucking, janitorial services, nail salons, adult entertainment, commercial fishing, newspapers, and media. They said contractors normally are not covered by laws guaranteeing a minimum wage, overtime pay, sick leave, family leave, unemployment, disability, insurance, workers' comp, so forth. And so they're saying now that they're going to go after these companies because essentially California is a failed state. They're completely and totally broke. They're insolvent. They are not functional anymore from a business standpoint. And so they have to figure out ways to raise more revenue, i.e. taxing more people and more people and more people. Now, one aspect about this, though, and this is what something that caught my eye, and I saw Dave Hodges also talked about this, is that the bill also apparently is a thinly veiled disguise attempt to silence independent media or alternative media. The bill classifies non-news related reporters, which would basically be Dadnai, Hagman, Hodges, so forth, and they classify that as non-news related reporters. Apparently, they don't classify alternative media as news because we're not CNN, so they deem it to be not news. What it also does now is it limits contractors to writing 35 articles per year. If a non-news related reporter writes more than 35 articles a year, then that company that he's writing the articles for has to put him on payroll. They cannot use him as a basically independent contractor and 1099 him. They have to put him on payroll and do, you know, workman's comp and the whole list down the line. And so it appears to be what they're trying to do is they're trying to control the market further, extract as much money as they can, get as much tax revenue as they can further out of it, and also, too, allow themselves to get their foot in the door to slowly start deeming what they say is okay in alternative media and controlling the narrative of what they want to have out in the open. And that's at least my opinion on it, Dad. And I got to do some more research on this bill. But the more I read about it, the more I realized this thing is not going to be good for freedom at all in the United States, much less California. Because if this thing starts getting adopted and this starts going to court and they start fighting it and judges start ruling in favor of this, it's going to set a precedent for other states to also follow this so they can massively boost their state revenue as well.
Well, you got to understand, folks, when you have an independent contractor working for you and they work out of their own home and they do their own work, et cetera, you know, when you put them on payroll, you know, it costs you so much more money because you got to master Social Security. If you provide health care, you got to provide health care. And so what ends up happening is you have a huge increase in cost. And of course, a lot of people now, what they also do, and this is one of the reasons they're probably doing this also, is a lot of people put everybody on a 1099, and then at the end of the year, the person who's on the 1099, and they can do this. I've had a friend of mine, he had it done one time to him. His name was Robert. He's dead now, may he rest in peace, and he had a lawn service. And he was paying all of his employees who were working with him using his equipment on his, on his trucks, on his mowers, as independent contractors. And I warned him when he did it. I said, Robert, if you do this and any of these guys get all mad at you at the end of the year because they don't have the money to pay their income tax, if they have money due, I said, they're going to turn you into the IRS because you didn't basically take out their withholding, and they're going to say they were your employee. He goes, oh, that will never happen. Well, you already know how that story ends. Basically, it happened, and his mom had basically signed off on the business and the own part of it. And so before it was all said and done, they seized her home, took everything she had, took all of her assets, took all of her savings, bankrupted him, bankrupted her, bankrupted everybody because the kids, they went into the full investigation. That's why if you've got somebody on a 1099, they need to be using their own equipment, their own everything's. And well, you guys know, do the laws in your own states and make sure you maintain compliance with that. But it's very important not just to throw all your employees on a 1099. But if you do happen to have one who's on a 1099, like an outside writer who's writing articles that are alternative news, they want to try to force you to pay them much, much more money. And in doing so, they basically can bankrupt the organization or the business over the amount of cash they're going to have to give that person or paychecks they're going to have to give that person in order to maintain compliance. Very important that everybody understands that. By the way, CNBC came out with an article that says banks worth $47 trillion. Do I hear Rothschild with a capital R? Yeah. There's a lot of banks out there worth $47 trillion. That's right. That's your local bank. You just can't get a $100 check cashed out. Banks worth $47 trillion adopt new UN-backed climate principles. There you go. Guess why? Yeah. Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, Barclays were among the 130 banks to join a new framework. Banks with more than $47 trillion in assets, the only ones who could do that possibly are the international banking cartels, or a third of the global industry adopted a new UN-backed responsible banking principles to fight climate change on Sunday that would shift their loan books away from fossil fuels. So if you come in and you say, I have a new oil well that I want to basically borrow money for, forget it. Financing for oil, gas, and coal projects has come under particular scrutiny as climate scientists step up calls to change the global economy's deep reliance on fossil fuels to avert disastrous warming. Guys, the reason we're having global warming, the primary reason, and we are, a lot of people say we aren't, but we are, because you know where you are. You know how hot it's been this last few years. The reason we're having this is methane expulsion because we screwed around with the Earth's ecosystem using geoengineering or chemtrails. And we've parked high-pressure zones over certain parts of the country for extended periods of time, causing huge climatic changes. I've got a friend. He's a pilot. He was in Alaska all summer. And he said, Austin, in the summer this year, it was in the mid-90s in Alaska. It stayed that way for over a month. He said it was miserably hot. He said, and the fires of the forests were burning all over Alaska, and the dust was unbelievably bad. He said it was horrible. Now, there are parts of Alaska that did not experience that. I got it, but I will say that. That's where he was.
And some other people, like Dane Whittington, who's one of the top geoengineering specialists in the world, he says they're starting and burning the forest to try to create a blanket around the planet to stop the sun from coming down. It's called global dimming, to reverse some of the effects that are being done by the methane expulsions which they caused. And Dane was on our show a few years ago, and that's when we were still broadcasting live in the afternoon. Now we do it in the morning, and it's hard for him to get up that early now and do the show. He basically, because he's in California, he said that this, the Earth's basically in a no-win situation. If we don't stop it, it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter here because of the methane expulsions. So now they're trying to do everything they can, including burning the Earth's force to slow this down. Well, I have a little question here. Why don't you stop spraying the stink chemtrails and let the Earth return back to normal? Why don't you maybe you could do that, unless we reached the point of no return, and you know that now, and that's why you're not doing it. By the way, the Stalinist show trial of Julian Assange is underway in England. He came up there muttering the other day, couldn't even talk, didn't even know where he was. Unbelievably horrible what they're doing to that man. Oh, by the way, pork, unsold bacon, piles of unsold bacon now. Uneaten bacon is the biggest in 48 years in the United States. Congratulations to you, United States of America, for not eating swine and having bacon pile up. Increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, all these horrible diseases that are directly linked to nitrites and cured meats. Stay away from bacon, guys. Very important. If you want to eat turkey bacon that has no sodium nitrite in it, have at it, have fun, but stay away from the pork. You guys are awesome. Like I mentioned to you earlier, I got to pray for you today. I love you guys. God bless you. Austin, close it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely, guys. And be sure, too, if you guys need anything, give us a call, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. I'm sure you guys have already seen the product of the week, the one and only B-Complex, our extremely high-dose methylated bioactive B vitamin formula. Very, very popular product. Great for energy, great for adrenals, great for stress response, great for the cardiovascular system, great for the brain. B vitamins are essential. They have to be taken on a regular basis because they're water-soluble. They don't build up in the body long-term. Your body constantly uses them. So it's on sale right now, product of the week, over 10% off on the website right now. So be sure to check that out if you want to grab a bottle of it. And also, too, be sure to vote for the product of the week to see what wins next week as well. We've got a bunch of new products up there, fresh products up there that you can vote on the website. And also, too, the Maximum Energy Kit is on sale on the front page of the website as well for over 10% off. So, again, thank you for the support. Thank you for making Health Masters your supplement home. If you guys need anything, email us, call us. Have a blessed, wonderful, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.